Redeem. Perhaps not a word that we use quite every day, but nevertheless a word with which we are reasonably familiar. My dictionary at home defines redeem as to buy back, to recover or free by payment, to rescue, deliver, free, to pay the penalty. Wiktionary, the online dictionary, says that redeem means to recover something, to recover ownership of something by buying it back, to liberate by payment of a ransom, or to set free. We get the idea. Those of you who are familiar with Handel's Messiah know the lines, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Which amazingly are actually the words of Job, but that's another story. Some of you will know the Christian song, There is a Redeemer. And that song tells us who that Redeemer is. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Verse 2, Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. And the song concludes, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. So redeem, Redeemer, redemption. Well, today I would like to share three thoughts with you. Number one, the need for redemption. Number two, the cost of redemption. And number three, the result of redemption. The need for redemption, the cost of redemption, and the result of redemption. So firstly, the need for redemption. Well, let's look at the first passage of Scripture inside your order of service from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, that you'll see inside there. Let's read that together. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, it says. We'll come back to some of the other verses in that wee passage later. But let's think of that, to redeem us from all wickedness. The story goes like this. God created everything. So everything ultimately belongs to him. God claims ownership of us. But unfortunately, because of our wickedness, our sinfulness, we've wandered far from him. We've lost our way. But is God finished with us? No, he is not. He is willing to redeem us, to buy us back, although we are rightfully his in the first place. But how can God redeem us? Well, the good news for each one of us this lunchtime is that God has already done something to cancel our sins. He sent his son Jesus to this earth 2,000 years ago to pay the ransom price for our sins on the cross. I wonder if any of us here today know that we are far from God. Far from God because we know that all the wrong things in our lives have separated us from God. Our selfishness, our pride, our anger, our greed, our lies, and so on. We're held captive by all these things. We go our own way. We see a sign that says, "Do not walk on the grass." And what do? We walk on the grass. Do we not? Well, thinking about the grass analogy even further, and I know we have some grass bowlers here. A bowler uses a bowl with a bias in it. And if that bowler is going to get their bowl to go anywhere near the jack, then they have to set off the bowl so the bias takes it round, curves it round to be near the jack. And we have a bias towards sin. We cannot help it. We go that way naturally. We do what we know we shouldn't do. But yet we've just read that Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Yes, each one of us needs rescuing. Each one of us needs to be redeemed. So that is my first point today, the need for redemption. Secondly, the cost of redemption. Remember we said that to redeem means to recover ownership of something by buying it back. Yes, a cost is involved. A price has to be paid. And that takes us to the second short reading inside our order of service from Ephesians chapter 1, where the writer Paul says, "In him," that is in Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." In him we have redemption through his blood. That was the cost. That was the price that had to be paid. We sang earlier, we may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear. But we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. Others of us will know the new song, we sometimes call it The Power of the Cross, Keith Getty and Stuart Townend, that speaks of the cost and the price. Do you know the song? "Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross." Next verse. "Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees. Now the ground beneath quakes as its master bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. This, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross." Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This, the power of the cross, Son of God slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. The cost of redemption. Or do you know this song? On the cross where the King of Glory died, here is grace, here is love flowing from that wounded side. Amazing mystery that he should die for me as a perfect sacrifice. On the cross, love incarnate on the cross. At the cross, all my sin on Jesus laid. Mine the debt, his the cost. By his blood, the price is paid. And through his suffering, that fragrant offering, arms of love are opened wide. At the cross, there is healing at the cross. To the cross, Spirit, lead me to the cross. Bowed in awe at his feet, richest gain I count but loss. Nothing compares with this, to share his righteousness and be called a child of God. To the cross, Spirit, lead me to the cross. The cost of redemption. One more song. My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly, that I, the guilty one, may go free? Amazing love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live, that I might live. And so they watched him die, despised, rejected. But oh, the blood he shed flowed for me. Amazing love. Oh, what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live, that I might live. The cost of redemption. A price had to be paid. An amazing sacrifice was made. So the need for redemption, number one. The cost of redemption, number two. And number three, the result of our redemption. Remember that redeem also means to save, to rescue, to set free. And that's where we come to our third passage of Scripture in the Bible readings there from Colossians chapter 1. Paul's words, for he, that is Christ, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is what God has done for us. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been rescued. Rescued from the dominion of darkness, where sin reigns, and delivered, brought into Christ's kingdom. Our sins have been forgiven. Let's go back for a few moments to those verses we read at the start from Paul's letter to Titus.
Titus chapter 2 begins for, really meaning because. In fact, we might subtitle these verses the because of godly living. And in those verses, we saw God's work in the life of a Christian, past, present, and future. Past, verse 14 especially, we have been redeemed in order to live a good life. Verse 14, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So past tense, we have been redeemed in order to live a good life, a different life. And then in the present, verses 11 and 12, God's grace teaches us something. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. God's grace teaches us how to live. And then these verses point us to the future as well, don't they? Because we await Christ's return, his second coming, which is our hope. Verse 12, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The because of godly living, past, present, and future. And this is all the result of our redemption. A last new song I'll quote for you. God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible and free. Oh, the miracle of mercy, Jesus reaches down to me. God of grace, I stand in wonder as my God restores my soul. His own blood has paid my ransom, awesome cost to make me whole. God of grace, I stand astounded, cleansed, forgiven, and secure. All my fears are now confounded, and my hope is ever sure. God of grace, now crowned with glory, where one day I'll see your face, and forever I'll adore you in your everlasting grace. See those blessings of our redemption? Cleansed, forgiven, secure, fears confounded, a hope that's sure. So the need for redemption, the cost of our redemption, and the result of our redemption. There may be some of you here today who know that you are not yet Christians. Do you realize, maybe for the first time, your need of redemption? Others of you are already Christians. Do you, do I, realize afresh this lunchtime the huge cost to our Lord Jesus Christ of redeeming us? And do we truly appreciate the great blessings that result from our redemption? Do we not want to praise God in a new way for all that he has done for us? I know you'll know this hymn. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. And that hymn is actually taken from Psalm 103. And I'm going to finish by reading the first five verses of Psalm 103 to you. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, amen, and I trust that God has blessed us and encouraged us as we've looked at God's word together today. Let us pray. Father, we